The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can text the show to that. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Tyler Drew Scott, at Degenerates 975. And that's the way to get the show today. Twitter, the lovely Twitter. Or you can text, miss the first hour. A lot of good stuff. Pretty sportsy. But, well, sportsy and Twittery. So I did go and look at the hot girls for Bernie.
Okay.
The first couple, cute. Not hot, but cute. And then a lot that, okay. And then there's one that she tweeted out, not hot, but I do like Bernie. It's kind of my flavor. Like, kind of the, you know, the sexy librarian look.
Oh, I think you're going to get a lot of librarian-looking chicks.
Well, but not sexy ones. I'm going to say, but at least she came out and said, hey, not hot, but I do like Bernie.
She's a humble librarian. Tyler, did you go through that that hashtag at all?
I did.
Did you find any that you were hot for?
There were one or two.
You were feeling their burn?
Yeah, a few of the rest of them, though, not so much.
Okay.
Yeah, they looked more like Bernie Sanders than they did hot women.
And I hate to tell you this, but if you're that big of a Bernie supporter, that takes you down a couple numbers in my book.
Oh, look at you taking a stand there. You're anti-Bernie.
I'm not for Bernie.
Okay.
I'm like you. There's one or two things that I like. And then there's a bunch of stuff that I'm like, okay, weirdo.
Yeah, I got a bunch of people asking me, aren't you a fan of such and such politician? There's zero politicians in the world that I raise my hand and go, you know what? I'm a fan of that person. I'm not. I don't like politicians. They're all scumbags. That's with a D or an R. They're all garbage cans.
And if they're extremist on either side,
yeah,
I don't like you at all. And that's, I mean, I've been consistent about that from the beginning. And, no, I'm not a fan of any. And I think that's part of the problem. And it gets back to something we've talked about before. People start treating politics like it's sports. Like, okay, if you're a Rangers fan, then you're going to say the Astros.
It's either Red Sox or Yankees. Like, yeah. You're one of the.
And that's. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. But, yeah, you know, there's a couple of candidates that I'm intrigued by that I think suck less than everybody else. But they don't have a chance, so. Oh, well.
Yeah.
And I don't think Bernie has a chance either, but at least he's got hot girls for Bernie. So.
Well, being a libertarian is kind of like thinking that Central Michigan is your college football team and they've got a shot at the national championship. Like, they don't. Yeah, I mean, you just.
Yeah. You're just hoping to.
You hope they have a good season.
Maybe you go unbeaten and make it to the non-Power 5 bowl game, but you're probably never happening. So. Yeah, I find myself identifying with those candidates, but it also means that my vote doesn't really count. It's just basically a.
But I also get to go 4 years without feeling guilty about voting for someone that I hate.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I thought the both options last time for president were horrible.
How dare you?
Well, I'm sorry. And Rob asks, does that mean you don't vote? No. I mean,
I think there were good and bad people on both sides.
Well, I'd like to have met the good ones.
Yeah.
You know, if you had,
I didn't find them either, but I assume there was.
But yeah, and then that's another guy. Let's say.
Well, that was like that was the big thing a couple years ago during the voting cycle. If you said something bad about Trump, everybody's like, whoa, yeah, what about Benghazi with Hillary? I'm like, well, am I not allowed to think Hillary sucks too? Like, is it? Is there a rule that I have to choose one or the – like, I can't think they're both idiots? Like, and that was the same thing today when I made the Bernie joke. I thought you hated Trump. Well, am I not allowed to,
no.
You know, dislike Trump and think that there's unattractive Bernie supporters? Is that a rule?
Yeah, that is.
Why can't we just have freedom?
You can only be one thing, AJ.
No, I'm in the middle. I'm neutral. I'm Switzerland.
See, no.
I hate everybody.
Well, I'm kind of with you on that, but no, we're China. You have to be told what to think.
I'm like North Korea. That's what I am.
I'm going to go South Korea because those women are hotter.
Okay. That's what you think.
That's all I care about.
North Korean internet polls say that North Korean women are hotter.
Yeah, so, well, you know what?
Suck on that.
I'm not allowed to have an opinion about that. Just like you're not allowed to have an opinion on the Bernie ones.
Okay.
So that's on you, pal.
Because it makes me a pig.
Well, yeah, but that's part of...
Yeah.
What we all are. We're
I like
pigs.
How people who just show up on Twitter one day, they're like, you're really mean. Yeah. I mean, is this breaking news? Is it like, should there be a story? Guess what's happened? Turns out people say mean things on Twitter now. Yeah. That's sort of the way Twitter works.
You know what? I got a bunch of hatred for my...
I'll post a cat picture this weekend.
Dead cat?
No, a live cat to make people feel better about my Twitter. Because I've got to get my stock up from just being like a bad guy. I need to show people there's a sensitive side to me.
I see. You know what? I forgot that column I wrote 2 weeks ago about how Houston is full of liars, cheats, and hypocrites. I got a bunch of people come after me over that.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in there that wasn't true. And so it's, oh, you're supposed to steal signs. The Astros didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, okay. People followed me just to tell me that, and then unfollowed me.
Yeah.
Rob S., you guys ever think about putting out another T-shirt design or Blitz merchandise?
No.
We haven't really talked about it.
I don't like doing that. I mean, if you guys want to support the show, I mean, support our advertisers is kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah. And we've got some great ones, you know. Go to Texas Mattress Makers, drink Carbach.
Yeah.
If you need a lawyer, call Lawyer Dave. I mean, there's that's a way to support the show.
We get paid to do radio. We don't need to squeeze any more out of our listeners.
Like, yeah, now if we had some free ones, that I'd be fine with that, but we don't really have a budget for that.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I don't like the idea of selling shirts to people who, you know, you're listening to the show for free, and our priority should be our sponsors.
Yeah, just support our sponsors, please.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, especially the local ones, because that's, you know, those are people in our community. And, you know, I'm friends with all of them, too. Drink
right.
Myers, you know. So that, you know, if you want to do something, please do that.
Kenny said he wrote in Harambe in 2016. He was the only one who demonstrated genuine concern for future generations. The problem was Harambe died. And... would have never even been able to take office. So, you talk about a wasted vote. I mean, I voted for Gary Johnson, and I felt like that was wasted. At least he was alive.
Yeah. Harambe was murdered, though.
He was murdered. He was, well, we like to call it assassinated.
Yeah.
When you're, when great people are murdered, we call it assassination. And when great apes are murdered, it's the same thing.
Huh. I didn't realize that was the difference. That you had to be, if you were great, you were assassinated. If you're not, you're just murdered. Interesting.
Man, Brother Bear reminds me of how much I hate that there's no longer a real gun emoji. Like, he did like the blowing his brains out thing with the water gun emoji. It's just not the same. It doesn't have the same effect to it.
Well, he's doing a Pulp Fiction reference.
I know, but I mean, yeah. I feel like we should...
Yeah.
I feel like we should be responsible gun emoji owners. Like, if we can be responsible with it, we should be able to have gun emojis.
Water gun.
Come on. I'm a grown man. I got to use a water gun emoji?
Shame.
Did you see this story JF288 tweeted us about the Saints?
I did not.
Trying to block emails from getting out about the Catholic abuse crisis. Apparently they were...
Oh, I did see that story that the owner of the Saints is kind of a rug sweeper. not a great look.
No. What would their involvement be?
I don't know. Here's another bold political stance. I'm against, like, child sexual abuse by anyone, even churches. Like, I think it's bad all around. I know that's an unpopular stance in America in 2020, but I think it's bad all the time. I don't think it's ever acceptable. You with me on this platform?
Yeah.
Tyler, you down?
I'm down.
That sounded like hesitation.
No.
Aaron, are you in on this?
I am 100% against it.
Okay. Apparently there's some people who are cool with it. Are all Saints fans now on are we going to have to treat them like Penn State fans and start looking at them a little differently?
Well, it depends on how they react to it.
Would you
if they try to put up a statue?
Would you disown your team?
Kind of depends on what comes out. But if they were helping them cover stuff up, I probably would.
Yeah.
I ain't got time for that. I mean, that's, well, you know, in the hierarchy of evil, child abusers are right behind murderers in my little hierarchy.
I think worse.
You can make that argument. But
that's why, like, murderers aren't, like, bottom of the barrel in prison even. Pedophiles are bottom of the barrel.
But I'm not in prison.
Like, pedophiles and rapists. Listen, Fred, this whole world is a prison. We're all in prison. All right? We gotta have that mentality every day in the streets. You're not raised in the same neighborhood I was.
I was raised in a pretty tough neighborhood, Chief. Yeah, basically, growing up there, you had two options. You either dealt drugs or you went to work in the refineries. That was it.
What'd you do?
I've
never known you to work in a refinery.
Well, fortunately, I managed to be the first person in my...
You made it out. You got a college education. You made it off the streets.
Yeah, I don't know how.
You were the first in your family to get a college education?
Yeah.
Look at you.
So...
You're a success story, modern-day success story.
Oh, I'm just old. Now everybody does it.
From the ghetto to the editor of Sports Map.
Well...
You've made it.
It was a long...
It
was a long and winding road. So, but I just and these church things that they cover up, and especially in the Catholic Church, to me, I don't, how can you still support that faith? You know, I mean, it's, and whatever church it is, if that's happening in your church, I got to tell you, I wouldn't have anything to do with them.
Well, the problem is, I mean, you can find something like that in literally every organization in the world. There's bad people involved in everything.
Right.
I mean, if you found out the priest at your local, you know, whatever you call it, chapter of the church is diddling, maybe don't go to that church anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But, like, if some archbishop in Kentucky is a diddler... Do you just stop being Catholic in Texas? That seems a little overkill.
But I also,
I mean, there should be more hubbub about it. And I mean,
there's not. They get away. I mean, that
it does seem to happen a lot. And I don't want to. Again, it seems like a slippery slope to get into. But
yeah,
I'm against all of it, and the Saints should be against all of it. And I'm against the Saints now for supporting it.
Well, according to their statement, which somebody texted about, supposedly the church contacted Saints PR. Asking for advice on how to deal with the media. Okay, if that's the case, go ahead and release the emails. Why would you be hiding the emails if that's the case? I'm going to say I don't
like... Benghazi deleted the emails. Benghazi. Yeah, that's why, Fred. You know why.
Do I ever...
Yeah.
Why do I have to hear the word Benghazi ever again?
You already know the answer to why they won't release the emails. They're deleted. Personal server. Deleted. Encryption, Benghazi. You got to know the key words in politics, Fred.
Okay. Witch hunt?
Witch hunt. That's
yeah,
right.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. There's no good transition for this, so I'm just going to tell you. You want to get in on the action? MyBookie.ag.
I think you can bet on like the...
You can bet on the presidential race,
on nominees or something.
I actually cashed on Trump last year.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, fairly early on.
Boy, fairly early on, I would have said you're a moron.
No,
there was no way I thought that was going to happen.
You didn't let me finish my statement. Fairly early on election night, he was still plus 245, and I was starting to think a friend of mine had told me something that made a lot of sense, that the Trump supporters are really being quiet because they don't want anybody to think they're racist, but they're out there. And
so you had an inside source.
No, it wasn't an inside source. It was just somebody speculating. It happened to be speculating, right? I got him at plus 245.
Good for you.
And as the night went on, it was like, damn it, I should have bet more.
So you were happy that Trump's president.
I cashed a ticket. That's all I do. It's like betting against UH. If they're going to lose, I might as well cash a ticket. But you know what? I did it all on my bookie. And whether it's NBA, Premier League, college hoops, if you're on to AJ's college hoops, that's a place to do it. If you're on to Jerry Bowe, he's got everything. And the Premier League, man, I love watching those games on Saturday morning now. I'm going to start playing them. And I can do it on my bookie. Fast payouts, great promotions, helpful customer service 24/7. That's one of the good things about them is the customer service is terrific. And if you join right now, they're going to match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. So if you deposit $2,000, you'll get an extra $1,000 to play with. And they've got all kinds of reload bonuses and special event bonuses. Check them out. Make sure they're right for you. And whatever you do, if you're just getting started, use promo code RADIO to activate your offer. That's promo code RADIO to get your extra cash from mybookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. MyBookie.
You were trouble when you walked down. It's a shame on me now. To me to places I've never been. Till you put me down.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. 50-cent beer in about 40 minutes, for those of you who are so inclined. And earlier we had Chris Griffin on to talk about the card. I wanted to have Hall of Famer Trey Styles on to talk about the contest.
That's a real name?
It's my first name. Yeah, Hall of Famer?
Yeah. No, is Trey Styles your real name?
Yes, that really is my name. I used to get people asking me that a lot.
You say, it sounds like a Beastie Boy.
Boys in the Hood was Trey Styles.
Okay, yeah.
So your parents named you after Boys in the Hood?
Well, no. I was a little older, but it's kind of cool, though.
Is it Styles with a Z?
Exactly.
Okay.
I knew it.
You could actually follow him on Twitter at @ride_that_pony. So also could be taken many different ways. But
yes.
I want to have Trey on because we've got the handicapping contest Sunday, and you were pretty instrumental in getting this thing here from what I understand.
Well, I hope that's true. I certainly have bothered people here long enough. My first efforts along the contest trail started right here almost 20 years ago, and it really got an interest in the contest play. And so after it went away for a while, and I kind of would bug them about doing this again, and I'm super excited that it's finally happening on Sunday.
Yeah, you go around the country and play a lot of these events, and people don't realize it's a lot like poker tours. You're going around and playing a lot. You've already qualified for the NHC, which is in a couple of weeks. And so if you win this one or finish second to me, either way, you can qualify for next year.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I haven't 100% figured out how I'm going to do it because you can get two entries each year, and I've only got one this year into the finals in Vegas in February. I think I'd probably pick the next year just to knock it out of the way. But either way, if folks are out there that have qualified, they can pick which one they want.
And for all of my poker friends out there, I mean, these tournaments are very similar in a lot of ways because, obviously you're great at it, but there's so much of it's basically what your bankroll is and what it is in relation to the other players, which is similar to having a chip stack at a final table. And give them kind of an overview on, just a brief overview on strategy for something like this.
Well, this tournament is different. There's all sorts of different formats. This one is limited to win and place wagers and exacta wagers. So that kind of narrows it down. You're not going to be able to wait to the end and try to catch some huge superfecta that's going to pay out big. You're going to need to plod along. So in a strategy like this one, also where you have a requirement that you wager your $1,000 bankroll up by the end of the sixth race, what I like to do is to make wagers that's going to leave me something at the – unless I really am strong on something early on. I'll just try to tread water till I get to those later races, see how the leaderboard looks. And then as you just described it, it's a function of what you need to get. I fortunately today, or this Sunday actually, I like the last race. I like some of, I have a good feel for that race, whether it be if I'm close up, I've got some strategy thoughts. If I'm further out, I've got some strategy thoughts. It's really tough when you get to the last. These things all frequently come down to the last race because it's just hard to know. You don't know what you need in the first race. But when you get down to the ninth or tenth race, you're in a position to know what you need to get done. So I like the last race. Sometimes when you don't, that really makes it hard. What do? Yeah. Do you load up earlier on something you have a strong feel? That's generally where I fall. So the strategy just depends on kind of how you feel about the card.
And for the tournament, if you haven't signed up, you can sign up on the website. You can come out here and do it live. It's a $1,000 bankroll, but it's money you're betting, and you get to keep what you win. So even if you don't win the tournament, you get a couple nice scores. You're going to walk out of here with some cash. And the way it's set up, the first six races, you have to bet. You can bet on whatever you want. You don't have to bet them all, but you have to bet $1,000. And then after that, you have to bet half your bankroll. So that's a different kind of approach, too, because if you get a huge lead, you're not going to be able to just sit on it, which and some of the formats, the ones that I've won have been a lot more, if you get one score and get a big lead, you can probably just sit on it from there. And but this is a little different. You're not going to be able to just get away and hide. And if you're chasing and you still have enough, then you can still catch up. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, good luck to you, and appreciate you. You also do the show out here a lot, right?
What else? I do Sharpie Time with Chris, who was on earlier. I was listening to you guys driving in. Enjoyed catching up, listening to you two talk about the racing in general on Sunday. It's going to be awesome. But, yeah, I do that. That's on here at the track, and then other facilities that carry the signal can watch that.
Cool. Well, good luck. I'll see you Sunday. And I've kind of been telling some of my friends from out of town who are coming in who seem to think that we're easy pickings down here. So, yeah, we got a few players, like Scott Scully, who I ran into, is going to be in it. Obviously, you're in it. Well, I think we'll have something for the out-of-town guys.
It'll be fun. It'll be good to see how it all flushes out.
All right, man. Well, appreciate it, and good luck. And if you get a chance, check him out here at the track anytime you're here. His picks are terrific. He's a fantastic handicapper, and he is a Hall of Famer. And he is Trey Styles. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. All right. So... now that we've given everybody the strategy, get out here and sign up. And if you don't, the other thing I tell you, if you don't have $1,000, just get some friends to go in with you. Put up $250 each and have one person, but have one person make the decisions, because we're not going to get into that again.
Like basically you.
Well, in my group, it's going to be me. But it also works. I mean, I've done collaborations before, and it works really well if the person you're working with, you guys agree ahead of time. So, like the one, I think I told you about this a couple weeks ago, one we won at Gulfstream. Jeff did Gulfstream and Santa Anita. I did Fairgrounds. That was it. And whatever he said, I went with. Whatever I said, he went with. And we won. And then we had the one that we didn't win because somebody didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
Even though I threatened to never speak to them again. But that's okay. It's fun stuff, though, man. And it's kind of cool being back around this, and it'll be fun to see some of the people I haven't seen. Or just like getting back into poker, there's still a lot of the same old faces 12 years later. All right, let's take a break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. And lots of good stuff out here. So come on out, 50-cent beer in 29 minutes, counting down. So Dallas Keuchel in the news today, I see.
Yeah, I think he's the first who basically has apologized for the role he played in it of the 2017 Astros. He's the first one who's come out and said, you know what, I'm sorry. And I don't know if he was apologizing for being a part of it or apologizing for what's happened because he took part in it. But there's Aaron, how close are we with the audio on that? Okay, well, here's we've got a few clips of Dallas, so let's hear the first one here.
I can tell you that not every game there was science being stolen. Some guys did a really good job, and sometimes we did as a group have signs, but we still couldn't hit the pitcher. So it wasn't like every game we had everything going on. So at that point, that's when the whole system. It really worked a little bit, but at the same time, there was a human element where some guys were better than our hitters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which,
that's fair.
Yeah. I think the great thing is we're starting to see, you know, guys come out and say, listen, this didn't happen all the time. I like to hope that that's the case, that it wasn't happening nonstop. Would it have been better if it wasn't happening at all? Sure. But he also said the other side of the equation is, hey, I know these teams are using multiple signs. What are they doing those for? You know, that's why teams do. That's why they have hidden signs. Again, I think a lot of that is for, you know, you got a guy on second. You want to have a different, like my 12-year-old's baseball team has a different set of signs for
right.
the catcher when there's a runner on second than when there's not. So you just kind of assume there's not access to a camera. It does make me feel a little better to think that maybe this wasn't happening nonstop. Do you have Dallas talking about Mike Fiers? Okay. Well, we'll get to that, I guess. But yeah, Dallas Keuchel speaking out about everything that he's got going on or what the role that he had to play in it, which I think is interesting. I think he's the first guy who from the Astros who did it. So you've got it on Mike Fiers? Okay, let's play that.
That's a tough subject because it's such a tight-knit community in the clubhouse and baseball especially. You're playing 162 games at least in the regular season plus spring training and then maybe in the playoffs if you're lucky. So you're pushing 185, 200 games. And it sucks to the extent of the clubhouse rule was broken. I mean, and that's where I'll go with that.
So that's his nice way of saying it sucks that that one of our own ratted us out.
Yeah.
And again, they don't want to. I think it's smart of him not to make it seem like Mike Fiers was the only one who did wrong in this thing. Honestly, what I heard of what Dallas had to say, he handled it really well. And I'm guessing that there's some sort of what I thought was there was some sort of players association deal, a players union deal that was telling them nobody talk about this.
Yeah.
The more that's come out, it makes me think there's an Astros edict.
Yeah.
Not to talk about this.
Well, yeah, because there's players all over the league talking about it.
Right.
And, you know, mostly like Cody Bellinger and guys like that.
Yeah.
So, and one of the other things he said that it's just what the state of baseball was at that point in time. Was it against the rules? Yes, it was. And personally, I'm sorry for what's come about. I think he handled it well. And of course, I'm already seeing Astros fans destroy him on Twitter.
Destroying Keuchel?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I guess we're talking about it. I don't know.
I mean,
listen, I think that's the best way.
Everybody
to it.
Knows it happened. It's not like it's a. There's no more snitching. I mean, it's out there. Everybody knows it now. I mean, if Altuve and Bregman had at FanFest said none of this ever happened, it's all a big made up lie by Mike Fiers, then it'd be a different conversation. I don't think Dallas Keuchel would be saying anything. But basically, everyone involved has admitted that, yeah, this was going on. You got us. Don't be mad at Dallas Keuchel for talking. I don't think Dallas Keuchel said anything out of line.
Yeah, I don't either. And I also, I'm glad he addressed it. I think that shows a lot more character than what Bregman and Altuve showed.
Yep.
And, you know, that's sorry if you don't like hearing that, but it's true. And this whole thing about the Astros, well, we'll apologize at the right time. Everybody should have their individual say about it, and they should be asked about it. But, you know, I don't know. Deacon says Josh Reddick also made a few other comments the other day about it. Nothing real substantial. And I believe Beltran was actually first in his comment. That's probably
But they didn't
true.
Apologize.
No, they didn't really apologize.
Like Dallas Keuchel but, is basically saying, I'm sorry for all the aftermath, which equates to...
if you're offended?
No, I think what it equates to is, I'm sorry that AJ and Jeff got fired over this.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure that's... I mean, if I was involved in this, that's what I would feel the worst about.
Yeah.
Like, do I really feel guilty? Probably not about, like, winning baseball games because of it.
No.
Probably not. But do I feel guilty because guys lost their jobs over it? That's probably a different conversation.
Yeah, especially.
And I'm sure that everybody loved AJ.
Yeah.
So I'm sure him getting fired, it probably feels crappy for those guys. And so... If they're like genuinely apologetic for anything, I imagine it's that.
I think that's fair.
Like they have to say, you know what, I'm sorry, we ruined the sanctity of the game or whatever. Like, we jeopardized the spirit of baseball. You have to say all those things, but truly, if I'm putting myself in their shoes, the one thing I genuinely feel bad about is getting my buddies fired. Like that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. And the thing is, if the guys had just dealt with it, then some of this starts going away. But the way it's going to play out now, you're going to have this big apology at spring training, and then you're going to keep getting asked about it over
right.
and over again, especially if people aren't satisfied with the way you do it. And I get trying to consolidate the message, but at the same time, I mean, these guys are individuals. They got caught. Let them face it. And then we can judge them based on how they do. And if you know somebody wants to come out and say, oh, well, screw it. You know, I'd do it again if I could get away with it. I'll respect that, too. But, yeah, good for Keuchel. I'm glad somebody has at least had the balls to address it. And there you go. How much do you think this is going to affect, like, people wanting to go to games and stuff? Do you think it's going to affect it at all?
No.
I don't either.
I mean, maybe there's some pearl clutchers who are like, oh, I'm not going to expose my children to this cheating organization. How many Astros fans do you know who have been like, I'm out on the Astros because of this?
0.0.
I've not met one. Like,
I've met more people who are out on the Texans because of Bill O'Brien.
Yes.
And it's
rightfully
not
so.
Even close.
Rightfully so. Yeah. Texans fan has more reason to not want to cheer for the Texans than Astros fan. Because at least the Astros make you feel like they got a shot every year. But even, like, I don't know if you read, did you read that article that they interviewed my son for?
I did not. No.
Okay, so the Chronicle interviewed my son. We talked about this a little bit, but, and he's 12, loves baseball, loves the Astros. And he was pretty heartbroken by the whole thing because he was like, you know, he's 12. He thinks everything's, you know, up to snuff.
And that's a sports age that affects the rest of your life
yeah.
as well.
So it bummed him out. But when they asked him, are you still going to watch the Astros next year? He's like, well, yeah. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Like, not watch the Astros now? No, I'm going to watch them. So if 12-year-olds aren't bailing on the team, I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, I kind of find it hilarious that, you know, what they were doing, they were trying to win. They were cheating to win. I'd rather you do that than keep bringing Bill O'Brien back. So I understand that completely. 832 asks, will other teams want Astros players during free agency? Hell yeah.
Yeah, because they're good players.
Yeah. If George Springer's out there next year, somebody's going to pay him a bunch of money. And same thing with Carlos Correa. I mean, those guys, if they don't stay here, they're going to get paid because they're good baseball players and people want to win. And in the end, it doesn't affect that. It really doesn't affect it that much. And, yeah, they didn't do it all the time. And I'm sure it didn't work all the time. I'm sure they didn't get the trash can banged fast enough a lot of times. So does it make a huge difference in a guy's numbers? Well, I don't think so. And that's – somebody said my 7-year-old said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's – unfortunately, listen, that's not even – I know that phrase has gotten really popular. Everybody looks for an edge in everything. Let me ask you this. You're going to bet on a college basketball game if your online thing basically was way behind on the score
mm-hmm.
and the game is over and you know it and you can still get a bet down, do you do it?
Like if the software's messed up?
Yeah, you know the result?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I'm with you. Is it any worse than what we used to do on Poker Stars when we would play a tournament with a six-person tournament with somebody we know?
Well,
and go back and forth and tell each other what we had.
I'll tell you this. When I was doing that, I never once felt guilty about it.
Oh, I didn't either. Because other people were doing the same thing. So, you know, and maybe that makes us bad people. It probably makes us bad people. I don't care. I was comfortable with it and made money doing it. And, you know, and it was kind of easy to hide because the wife was in Mississauga, Ontario at the time. And so, but, you know, they had to figure out that this person from Canada and this person from Houston were in a lot of the same tournaments. It's kind of on them to do that, right? Oh, well. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Listener Steven says, on my way to file a lawsuit to recoup all the money I lost on Poker Stars. Yep. Well, you know, and the reason I think it's relevant, and somebody was also asking, what exactly did you guys do? Well, we'd sign up. I always did it six-handed sit-and-goes and with one other person that I know, and we would G-chat with what hands we had and let each other know. Did we always win? No. But was it an advantage? Hell yes.
A big advantage.
And especially if you could sit down and if you get it down to three people, you get a huge advantage at that point. Doesn't mean that your kings are going to hold up against queens either. And you do lose, but yeah, I mean, it'd be silly not to call it an advantage. And, you know, and then it's, was it wrong? I don't know. I mean, they set up the rules. So, you know, you can judge us if you like. I'm cool with that. But I'm not going to apologize for it. I needed the money. I was freaking broke, man. Oh, boy. 713-780-3776. And, boy,
is there a contesting broadcast going on?
Oh, they've got the whole track feed on their pre-race show going.
Oh.
Which usually they don't do that. It just goes out on TV. So hopefully we'll get this settled. If not, well, we'll just have to talk louder, I guess. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. This was sent to me by Gary Cooper on Twitter earlier today.
Gary Kupiak?
Nope, Cooper.
Oh.
Don't know if it's real or not, but because it is from the South China Morning Post.
Oh. As John Granato would say.
I miss that game show of theirs. Headline is, man killed by own rooster at cockfighting event in India.
Sounds legit.
Said the victim bled profusely after being slashed by a blade tied to the bird's legs, then died on the way to the hospital after getting a heart attack. Which, I didn't realize cockfighting was still out there.
But, I think it's still legal in Louisiana.
Is it? I knew it was up until...
When I lived in Louisiana, it was.
Well, it was legal in the 90s, because when I was going over there to Delta Downs all the time.
It was legal.
There was a cockfighting place on the way.
It was legal as, like, in 2003, it was still legal. 2007, it was banished? Oh, okay.
That's too bad. It's probably PETA's fault. But, yeah, the victim, Sarapali Venkatasawara Rao, was 53 years old. He was holding the rooster, and it struggled to get free, which I'm pretty sure if I were a rooster, I would be struggling to get free as well. But he got deep stab injuries from the knife attached to his leg. It slashed his main thigh vein, causing him to bleed
profusely.
The main vein? Indeed. Died on the way to the hospital. Doctors said the incident shocked the man, causing a heart attack.
Yikes.
So, the police officer says, it's a tragic incident, but ironic that the rooster bred to kill its opponent foul and bring a bounty instead killed its owner.
Well, there's actually a new documentary coming out on Netflix called Don't F with Roosters.
Yeah?
It's about this story.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be about how they managed to capture a killer.
No.
Because it started off with him killing roosters.
No.
Well, the rooster is on the loose, so maybe that should be...
On the lamb, we like to call it.
That's interspecies, and it's not cool. I mean, I'm sorry. Remember, we had a lot of trouble for interspecies, too, by putting stuff on the Facebook page. It was...
Who was it that told us not to do that anymore?
It was ESPN National, called Tepper.
Okay.
Because we had a picture of, what was it, a giraffe and a...
It's a giraffe and a much smaller animal.
Yeah, having relations.
In coitus.
Yeah. And, we got told not to do that again. So, regardless.
Well, I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was pretty funny. But that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Now, Mott says Kareem Jackson got caught up in a cockfighting controversy in 2010.
You're just a turd.
I don't remember that.
I don't either.
Well, I wonder if it's still legal anywhere in the states.
I don't think so. Louisiana was the last state, I'm pretty sure.
Well, necrophilia is still...
It's gone now, right?
Okay. Necrophilia is still legal in Louisiana.
What?
Yeah. Look that up.
Oh, no.
Remember we talked about that a few years ago. There's no actual law against it. Which
I like how they got rid of cockfighting, and then they were like, okay, well, what about the necrophilia thing? And they're like, no, let's keep that for now.
All right. Prior to – in the Sexual Offenses Act of 2003, sexual penetration of a corpse was made illegal. So in 2003, prior to that, it was not illegal.
Okay.
I lived in Louisiana in 2003.
So you could have.
I could have done that.
You could have penetrated a corpse.
Even scarier, had I died –
you would have been
someone
penetrated.
Could have done that to me and got away with it.
Oh,
that's a bad thought.
Goodness.
I hope no one tries to make love to me when I'm dead.
So I didn't realize they changed that law, too, but I knew for the longest time it wasn't illegal. So
the more you know.
Yeah. There's a couple of weird laws.
Meanwhile, Fred is canceling his trip to play in the circuit event in New Orleans. He's like, I'm not going back there. The rules changed on me. I'm out.
Yeah, well.
Back to Vegas.
Okay, I've been a few times since 2003. I didn't realize that.
You didn't realize you were a criminal.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I never thought that a corpse could actually consent, right?
Right.
So theoretically, I can't imagine why that would be legal.
Kareem Jackson attended a cockfight in the Dominican Republic.
Oh.
Took pictures and then tweeted the pic. What a dummy.
Yeah.
Well, that's on Kareem. What are you going to do?
Is it any worse than bullfighting, though?
No. I think it's kind of the same.
Would anybody have said anything if he tweeted pictures from a bullfight?
If he was in Spain?
Yeah.
Probably not. Yeah, I don't know what the big difference
is. Well, because at least one of the roosters has a fighting chance.
That's true.
The bull doesn't.
But I think it's different when it's animal on animal versus man versus animal, which to me, man versus animal would be fair if man didn't have, like, a weapon. But when you've got a weapon, it's like, that's not a fair fight.
No. I think
if you made man versus beast fighting and, like, guys signed waivers to do it, there's a real television opportunity, pay-per-view opportunity.
I think you're finally onto something.
But
because I'm pretty sure that hasn't been done. Man versus grizzly bear.
We tried to get Raheel to fight a rooster, but he wouldn't do it.
I don't want to see a rooster.
Yeah, that's. I mean, unless you give the rooster knives.
Man versus grizzly bear, that's not much of a matchup. I mean, have to be a really stupid man. Oh, I guess you could find like some. You know how now we've got like. I noticed this in basic training. A lot of guys join the military because it's either they join the military or they're going to go to jail, usually for like meth or something like that. So what if instead judges said, okay, here's your options. You can go to prison, or you can fight a grizzly bear. Do you think we could get some people to fight grizzly bears?
I think so. I like this. I like where you're going with this. This is a show we can make work, AJ.
Or, like, if there's people who, okay, here's the deal. You're on, you've got life in prison. You're locked up. We'll let you out for this bear fight. If you kill the bear with your bare hands, you go free. I guess you'd have to use death row people.
Yeah. That could work.
Because, I mean, the reality, none of them can beat the bear.
Make it like, what's her face in Game of Thrones? Brienne. Give them a sword.
No.
No.
But, like, not a sharp sword. Give them some sword.
Some brass knucks, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay.
Knock the bear out.
Yeah. Good luck.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not talking like a baby bear. I'm talking like a full-grown grizzly.
Badass grizzly.
Like an angry grizzly.
Yeah. Who hasn't eaten for like a week.
Concussions.
Yeah, like that Will Ferrell movie. What was it? The
And I think the other.
Hard?
The basketball one.
Oh, yeah.
Where he had the tropics.
Yeah.
He fought a bear.
Yeah.
And the safe word didn't work.
What was that stupid
Semi-pro.
Movie called? Semi-pro. That's
yeah.
Semi-pro.
Nick says a bullfighter only has a cape, though, right? Not much
no,
of a
they
weapon.
Have a sword.
No, they have swords. That's like, they kill them. And they use a whole bunch of swords.
I don't like when they kill the bull. You know what movie that's from? Fred?
No.
Bulletproof. Starring Adam Sandler and...
You know what? I probably never...
I want to say Keenan Ivory Wayans.
I've never seen it.
Where at the end, Adam Sandler escapes to Mexico to become a bullfighter, and he's talking to these hot senoritas about being a bullfighter, and he's dressed up like a matador. And they're like,
we don't like
that they're bullfighters. We don't like when they kill the bull. And he says, oh, I don't kill the bull. I like to make friends with the bull. I like to teach it to read.
Oh, boy.
All right. Sorry, that was just random movie trivia. All right. Monday, February 10th, 11 a.m., the 4th Annual Carbach Classic at Sterling Country Club. Carbach Brewing is fighting to find a cure for MS at the 4th Annual Carbach Classic. All proceeds from the tournament donated to the National MS Society through the Carbach Cycling Team. A complimentary concert going to be going on by a surprise celebrity. You'll play with a celebrity golfer, Jeff Bloom, Kevin Walter, other Texans players, Mark Clayton, and more. Shotgun start, scramble play, longest drive contest, closest to the pin, all that good stuff. Lunch and dinner provided by Backyard Grill. Purchase tickets today at carbachbrewing.com. And then Sunday, the Sunday after that, February 16th, the Rodeo Clown Roundup, the third annual Rodeo Clown Roundup. Blackberry Smoke, Corey Morrow, Band of Heathens, Clint Daniels going to be playing. Grab your tickets today at carbachbrewing.com. While you're there, sign up for the 5K, 10K. You participate in that, you get a discounted ticket to the show. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach. Yeah, it's coming with me, but she ain't mine. She not high. Free my cousin till he free. He doing time.